is Nightline.
Tonight, what the president owes, a blockbuster New York Times investigation on bad business decisions, persistent financial losses, and payment of little to no taxes. Now voters across America weighing in.
It's just more proof that he's a con man and always has been.
I don't think it will change anything in the Trump base.
And with the first presidential debate just one day away, will this new scandal spell legal trouble for Trump?
Nightline starts right now.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us. I'm Janae Norman. Tonight, President Trump, who has refused to release his tax returns and has frequently described himself as a clever businessman, is now dealing with the fallout from a New York Times investigation that revealed embarrassing and perhaps illegal business decisions. It was a bombshell.
The New York Times out with a new report detailing years of President Trump's tax returns.
He's paid almost no federal income taxes recently, just $750.
In 10 out of the 15 years before that, he reportedly paid no taxes at all.
Makes my blood boil.
Don't put much stock in it. It doesn't faze me.
What makes him exempt? That's not fair.
The New York Times' investigation giving the most expansive look yet at President Trump's business empire, detailing how his businesses were losing money year after year. The president paying only $750 in federal income tax the year he won the White House, and in 10 out of 15 years, he paid no federal income taxes at all. For someone who says that he is a billionaire, to have only paid $750 in federal taxes, what do you think that says?
Rich people engage in tax shenanigans all the time, but this appears to be a different level of that. You could be really rich and have a really bad year and end up paying no federal income taxes. The issue here is it was year after year after year.
It's a startling revelation about the Manhattan real estate mogul who built his reputation on The Art of the Deal and his reality show fame on The Apprentice.
I think that the American taxpayers deserve to know more about his returns.
What do you think that this report tells us about how President Trump has portrayed himself as a very successful, very wealthy businessman?
That he's not the art of the deal, uber businessman that he portrayed himself as.
What's new and important is the Times has put irrefutable numbers around the reality of Trump's business life, the extent to which he pushes the boundaries of the law.
Author Tim O'Brien has known and reported on Trump for years.
This is the Donald Trump we have known for decades. He is someone who's a serial bankruptcy artist, and he is someone who's accustomed to gorging on debt that often gets him in trouble.
The president calling the report fake news when it first broke.
Well, first of all, I paid a lot, and I paid a lot of state income taxes, too. The New York state charges a lot, and I paid a lot of money at state. They treated me very well.
Tell us what you paid in federal taxes.
I didn't tell them that.
Tweeting today, I paid many millions of dollars in taxes, but was entitled, like everyone else, to depreciation and tax credits. His rival, Joe Biden, pouncing, releasing a campaign video comparing what average Americans pay in federal income tax to what the president paid. ABC News has not independently reviewed the more than two decades worth of documents obtained by the New York Times. Among the headlines, the president's questionable tax write-offs on $70,000 in hairstyling when he was on The Apprentice. And that his marquee hotel just blocks from the White House has lost more than $55 million since it opened in 2016. Would you say that President Trump essentially owes the American people money?
Even if people look at this and say, how could this be? That doesn't mean necessarily he didn't have a legal right to be able to do some of this stuff.
The president has often boasted of paying little or no taxes.
He didn't pay any federal income tax. So
that makes
if
me
he's
smart.
Paid...
What is your tax rate?
It's none of your business. You'll see it when I release. But I fight very hard to pay as little tax as possible.
In 2018, he claimed in public filings he made nearly $435 million. But now, in private tax records, the Times reports the president lost $47.4 million.
I have very little debt to anybody. I don't need debt. You know, it's very interesting.
I'm so liquid, I don't need debt.
Trump might have said he didn't need debt, but he certainly has it. According to the Times, his personal obligations total $421 million, some of that coming due as soon as next year. Trump, who vowed to pursue no new foreign deals as president, earned more than $73 million from his overseas business dealings during his first 2 years in the White House. The president of the United States could potentially owe upwards of $300-400 million.
He might be able to figure out a way to negotiate this, but you never want the president of the United States to be beholden to anyone.
Any president who has business dealings overseas and who is financially stressed poses a national security threat to the country because we can't trust that his or her judgment as president isn't impaired by their own financial self-interest.
Those famous businesses the president touts, from his golf courses here and in Europe to his hotels, lost millions year after year, according to the Times.
It really seems as though this is a business or a series of businesses that are on life support.
The paper also accuses the president and his companies of claiming aggressive deductions on some of those businesses, including at Mar-a-Lago when the president was in office. More than $109,000 for linens and silverware and nearly $200,000 for landscaping.
I ask myself every time I am entering a deduction or suggesting a refund, is this something that the American people should be paying for? Because every refund, every deduction means fewer resources that the American people have at their fingertips.
Every president dating back to Jimmy Carter has publicly released his tax returns except one. For years, Trump has pinned his secrecy on an ongoing audit.
It's under routine audit. When the audit ends, I'm going to present them.
I've been under audit almost for 15 years. The IRS does not treat me well.
The Times says the audit likely stems from questions about a nearly $73 million tax refund the president received in 2010.
The IRS is now looking into whether or not that was a legitimate write-off.
An adverse ruling in that audit could cost Trump more than $100 million. Stories about Trump's business acumen have been swirling for years. In 1990, our Barbara Walters sat down with the then real estate magnate with questions about other deals.
Being on the verge of bankruptcy, being bailed out by the banks, skating on thin ice and almost drowning, that's a businessman to be admired.
You say on the verge of bankruptcy, Barbara, and you talk on the verge, and you listen to what people are saying.
I talk to your bankers.
Well, that's fine. And what do they say? I mean, you know, depending on which banker you're talking to, what do they say? I don't know what the bankers have said. The Plaza is a very valuable property. Everybody told me, oh, you paid too much. Now they're all saying what a great deal he made on the Plaza.
For one of Trump's loyal supporters, these latest headlines don't shake his faith.
I don't think it will change anything in the Trump base. As a person who has attended 71 Trump rallies over the last 5 years, 8 this year, I see nothing but a groundswell of even more enthusiasm for the president.
Thumbs up, people. Delaware businessman Richard Snowden is a front row Joe, a Trump devotee who tries to go to as many rallies as he can. Nightline co-anchor Byron Pitts met with Snowden in Cincinnati in 2019.
We wake up every day thanking the Lord that Donald Trump is our president.
He thinks today's news is nothing more than a distraction.
All of us know, as business people, as tax-paying citizens, that you do everything you can to legally avoid paying a ton of taxes.
Snowden thinks it's okay Trump tried to avoid paying his taxes, but one thing that probably won't be avoided is the topic of taxes when the first presidential debate happens tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
The New York Times investigation into the president's tax returns comes at a pivotal moment ahead of the first presidential debate tomorrow. So how might this report reshape the political battleground? Earlier tonight, I spoke to Matt Dowd, ABC News chief political analyst, Alex Castellanos, co-founder of Purple Strategies, Yvette Simpson, CEO of Democracy for America, and Sarah Fagan, CEO of Deep Root Analytics. Thank you all so much for joining us. We're just over a month away from Election Day. So, Sarah, I want to start with you. How important do you think this investigation by the New York Times about President Trump's tax returns will be to not only his base, but any moderate voters who he's hoping to sway?
Well, I think for his base, they're so loyal to him. I don't think that they are going to give credence to anything the New York Times writes, frankly. So I don't think it matters to his base. But to moderate voters and to the few people who are undecided in this race, I think this is problematic for a couple reasons. The first is every day we are talking about something negative for Donald Trump. He is not talking about his improvements to the economy pre-COVID, how he's the leader to bring the economy back post-COVID, progress in the Middle East. The things that he has done well, he isn't talking about them. The other reason why I think this is potentially very problematic across the board is there's so much information in this story and so many unanswered questions, he is either going to be forced to put something out to combat this and put an end to it, i.e. his taxes, which he's been unwilling to do so far, or we're going to talk about this for the next month.
And we've already seen Joe Biden coming out with an ad about average Americans and how much they're paying for taxes. So, Yvette, do you think that this will change Biden's strategy?
You know, I don't know if it changes his strategy, but it sure does shift a dynamic in his favor. And so we're going into a debate tomorrow where Donald Trump was kind of already on the ropes, but now he's going to be in the defense, on the defensive side, and I hope that Joe Biden takes advantage of that. I worry, though, that that means that Donald Trump is going to come out swinging, and I hope that Joe Biden is ready to stick it to him and make sure that he answers to the American people about how he went 10 years without paying taxes, how he went 2 years paying less taxes than most Americans, and how he measures that up with his America First strategy. And so I think there's going to be a really interesting shift in the dynamic. I hope that Joe Biden takes advantage of that and makes sure that Donald Trump has to answer that very difficult question tomorrow.
And even with so much in that article, still so many questions unanswered. Of course, the president is denying the reporting. But Alex, what do you think Republicans make of all of this?
I think the first thing Republicans are going to do is they're going to run out and hire Donald Trump's accountants and figure out how not to pay any taxes. Kind of a wizardry trick there. Republicans so far have been very quiet on this one. You know, they'd rather be talking about, what, a new Supreme Court justice. They'd rather be talking about who's the best candidate to get this economy growing against once we get beyond the COVID threat. But that's not what we're talking about today. So, look, this election is kind of like the ocean. You know, it's set in so many ways. Very little has changed since it started. But now and then the tide does go in and out a little bit. And for the reason Sarah said, people are, this is not Donald Trump talking about why he should be reelected. This is the campaign he doesn't want, which is Donald Trump running against Donald Trump, not Joe Biden.
And Alex, that's a great point. And Matt, the president has weathered a lot of controversies that would doom most people, most candidates, the pandemic, allegedly attacking veterans, so many things. And now the taxes, this reporting, is this one any different?
It's different because we're heading into the presidential election and just over a month away. Donald Trump has weathered these, but he's kept his number about 40 or 42%. That's problematic when you want to win a number of states and you want to win the nation in a presidential election. When you're behind in the fourth quarter, every minute you're spending trying to tend to injuries on your side is a minute you're not spending coming back from how far behind you are. And that's the problem for Donald Trump. He is behind nationally. He's behind in all these key states. And so every time there's a day where he is not fighting to gain that those points back, that momentum back, is a problem. That's what Donald Trump's problem is. He cannot win an election with 42 or 43% of the vote. He has to take points away from Joe Biden. And when he's not doing that, he's losing.
And some of the voters he's been trying to get back, suburban women, that's a demographic Trump's been trying to appeal to. Almost lost in the news is that 2 days ago he nominated Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court. Do you think that this nomination could help him win back some of those suburban women?
I think it can, because in part because of who she is. I mean, she's an incredible example of a working mom, and a working mom with small children. She would be the first Supreme Court justice, if confirmed, to have school-aged children and to be a mother of adopted kids. I mean, she's such a diverse person, working mom, well-educated, you know, professor, law clerk. These are incredible accomplishments. And she really, really puts, I think, a dagger in the argument of so many on the left who are so focused on such polarizing issues. She just presents herself and talks about her background and who she is. That helps her. I think that helps Donald Trump.
Yvette, real quick, one day away from the first presidential debate on the heels of this report, ahead of a big Supreme Court nomination fight, what do you think Biden needs to do tomorrow?
You know, a couple things. First, he has to live to fight another day. You know, I think there's a lot of pressure on Joe Biden because people already know that Donald Trump is a disaster. I think Biden has to have a flawless execution tomorrow. I think he also has to make sure that he doesn't take the bait, because Donald Trump is like a rat in a cage right now, and he's going to come out swinging. And so Joe Biden needs to not take the bait, and he needs to focus on talking to the American people about who he is and distinguishing himself as a person from Donald Trump. We know that much of this election is not about issues. It's about personality. Donald Trump does not win this fight if Joe Biden just remains steady. If he has a rough night, unfortunately, that might cause people to not be so confident in his ability to lead. So all he has to do is be smooth and steady. Don't take the bait from Donald Trump and focus on the American people. I think he'll win the day.
And Matt, so many big issues facing the country right now. What do you think each candidate needs to do in the debate tomorrow?
Well, first, I think Donald Trump, if he spends all his time attacking Joe Biden, it's a problem, because the only way he gains is if he rehabilitates his image with the American public. So I think Donald Trump should spend more time talking about the things that Sarah and Alex said and rebuilding his image. Joe Biden has to stay calm, cool, and collected. And if there'll come a point when he has to respond in a strong way to Donald Trump, he needs to pick it and pick it well and respond well, but otherwise stay calm, cool, and collected.
All right. Thank you so much to everyone for your time tonight. And be sure to tune in tomorrow evening for complete coverage of the first presidential debate, starting at 8, 7 Central, only here on ABC. That's Nightline. Thank you for watching. I'm Janae Norman. Good night.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 Central on ABC.